We'll make the announcement, all that later. It's just time to go in the Word. Tremendous job. Y'all did a tremendous job. Give them a hand. Tremendous work. Get me a handkerchief, Junior. Tremendous. We'll recognize our visitors in a little while, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the Word here now. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Y'all stand up. And I had you do that because I want great expectancy from the Lord at this moment. Where the spirit of liberty can sweep your life, you'll never be the same. Now, I need you listening, both now and every chance you get to listen to what the Lord is saying to the church today. And this is the end time. Bob and I were talking, I think this is the end time message to get the church in a rightful place, that the great harvest can be brought in without judgment, by self-righteousness. We look at people out of another eye, not being so critical, but being concerned and walking in the love of the master. You cannot walk in the love of the master by the law, by a bunch of do's and not doing, but by love and by recognizing that when you accepted Christ, there was total forgiveness. For your past, your present, and the future out in front of you. Yes, Jesus paid an expensive price for expensive cargo. What would this remove? A lot of guilt, shame, worry, fear. You know, most of the time, Christians spend their lives fearing not going to hell. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Nobody want to go to hell. That's why you accepted Christ. Satan is not big enough to snatch you in hell. Satan can't handle grace. He can't handle the finished work. Finished means paid full in full. You know, I'm glad God didn't trust me to get to heaven. Let me say that again. I'm glad God didn't trust me to get myself to heaven, because I wouldn't make it. I got news for you. You wouldn't either. That's a powerful statement there. So we'll be seated and we'll get into the word. Be seated, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a key word that I want you to be concerned with now is the word veil. Covering. Veil means covering. Veil also means blind. You're blind. You can't see where you're going. It's a key word I want you to understand. The veil has to be taken off. The veil that separates you from the life that Christ has created in you must be taken off. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Your spirit is a new creation. Your spirit has the nature and life of God in it because you accepted Christ. Period. Can't add nothing on to that. You're a new creature in Christ. Now, your mind and your body, your soul and your body give you trouble, but you have to learn how to put them under the authorization of your spirit. Once you learn how to do that, and once you learn how to present your body, just present your body to God as a living sacrifice, keep your mind renewed, you're going to live a life that is unexplainable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And I'm saying this to you, believers, because of not properly understanding grace, most Christians still have a veil covering their heart. And that's Satan's trick. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be what? Taken away. The veil shall be taken away. The veil. See that veil? See, I got it highlighted. Veil. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's legalism. No. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a license to sin. No, he says liberty, doesn't it? There's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, and very, very, very close to the 18th verse, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, watch this now, are changed. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in reading that scripture, what happened is religion have caused the body of Christ not to see themselves. It blurred the mirror. The mirror wasn't, it was like a cracked mirror. You couldn't see the word of God as a mirror. And it's like a cracked mirror. You can't see who you really are because there are so many voices telling you you're somebody else. And I was saying to my leaders this morning, we got to be detox. No detox. Talk about, in the chemical world and then in your bodies, there are things that contaminates your system. And there's a lot of nutrients they got out now to detox, get that stuff out of your system, and detox your liver, and detox your digestive system, and spiritually. And on way there, if God dug it, we need to be detoxed. We have suffered, wrong. We have suffered lack. See, lack, financial lack, sickness and disease, all these family problems we're having, and sin problems we're having is because we need to be detoxed. We need to know who we are in Christ. So there's a few notes I had hit me right before I left out the office. We're because of a lack of understanding of the message of grace. Now, we're going to talk about looking at life through the lens, L-E-N-S, like lens of grace. Looking at life through the lens of grace. Or looking at salvation through the lens of grace. Or looking at truth through the lens of grace. We've been using another lens, and it's not working. And seeking your identify with this, still stuck after Christ died and rose again, the church somewhat is still stuck in the old mode of contact. Still stuck with a new contract, new covenant, but still stuck in the old mode of operation. Sin conscious and sin finders. Now, grace is a contrast lifestyle to the law. Give me Acts 20, 27, I think in the English Standard Version. Acts 20:24, I think it is. It's not in my note, but it's just coming up now that I need to deal with this. About the gospel of grace, but I need to deal with it from a translation I saw the other day. It really helped me. Acts 20:24. But I do not account my life to of any value, not as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Try and amplify it, Bobby. So something that I want. But the gospel of grace. I got my footnote. You're taking note. The church will continue in defeat without the gospel of grace. None of these things move me. Neither do I esteem my life dear to myself. If only may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have obtained from which was entrusted to me the Lord Jesus faithfully to attest the good news, gospel of God, grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessings, and mercy. You must read that sometime. Now, grace is the conquering revelation of the finished work of Christ. Grace is the conquering revelation. You know that scripture says, yeah, we're more than the conqueror. If you're not up on the dispensation of grace, you're not more than a conqueror because Satan gonna trick you with the law. And he'll tell you you're not as strong as you really are. There's two scriptures we need to look at, two or three scriptures I want to look at before I start giving you this outline this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You with me? Well, let's roll. Now we're going to roll. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because we've got to get these lens on right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Many of y'all will be healed. Many of y'all will break out of depression. You'll break out of financial struggles. I know you don't mind doing that, right? If you do, I really got to preach you some grace. You mind breaking out of financial struggles. Now, I know this scripture we're about to read now is preferred to those who have not accepted Christ, but I have to use it to show you you're just as blind as the one who didn't accept Christ in Christ trying to live by the law. Well, you see, a person who have not accepted Christ don't recognize they need to be saved, right? Well, then a Christian who is saved and want to stay stuck in tradition don't recognize he need to be saved. You need to be delivered from himself. You need to be delivered from self-righteousness and begin to function in the righteousness of God. May the Holy Ghost hit this place today. May the Holy Spirit stir up the gift that is in you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, now this is the unbelievers, but I'm going to show you a parallel where a believer can be in the same shape saved. A believer can be in the same shape as unbelievers saved. Even though they're going to heaven, the believer going to heaven, but in life, believer can be in the same shape as unbelievers saved. I'm going to show you two scriptures that you're going to have to let something happen for you to step out and be the light of the world. All right. In the third verse, Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, right? Now notice what he said in the fourth verse. In whom the god of this world, that's Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan is trying to keep sinners blind, that they won't see that they need Jesus. That's where we come in at to preach the gospel, right? To preach the gospel, which is good news, and to tell them that God loves them and that they can be accept Christ no matter what they have done in life. Come on, I can't hear y'all. See, now I know y'all. Some of y'all still in the law, so you don't want, you know, that either. Yeah, it's that either. Christ made it that either. But now if you turn to 1 Corinthians 2, there's a blindness that holds us from walking in the fullness. After we got out the other blindness, Satan brought another blindness. After you're a Christian, there's a blindness. 1 Corinthians 2. And we got to get out of it. I say we got to get out of it. Second Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 now. Now, that's the blind Christian side. Watch what it says now. You with me? All right. It says, but it, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Quickly, if you will run, we're coming back here. Quickly, if you would run with me to Romans chapter 8, look at verse 28. Romans 8:28. Look at Romans 8:28 because it gives a overall view of how your life should be in Christ. And we know, good God Almighty, that all things work together to good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's me. Say that's me.
That's me.
Why everything not working out then? It's because there's a certain amount of blindness over the people of God trying to live by the law and rules and regulation and not walking in the freedom of the finished work of Christ, which says it's already done. Temporary delays, attack, temptation, certain things may come in your life, but the Bible says all things work together for good for them. You love him? Young man, just singing about love. How much, nothing separates me from the love of God. All things work together for good for them that love God. But you have to be able to see in the realm of the Spirit. When you are born again, you are designed to see like the Holy Ghost sees. You are designed to see like Jesus sees. You are designed to see what God sees. There's nothing Satan has can take you out. But you have to live in revelation. Not in religion. Not in rituals. You have to live. What I said? Live in revelation. Other words, what is revelation? The Holy Spirit opening my eye that I can see the glory of God in every situation of my life. It looked like I'm going down, but I see something else. It is a glorious truth that as a child of God, I cannot and will not be defeated. Wave your hand at me if you believe that. Attest to that fact. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what anybody have done to you, you coming out because you have a new route in Christ. You imagine knowing that all the time? You imagine knowing that when the going get rough, look like nothing gonna work out, but you have an inward knowing that it cannot hold me down because Christ has risen and I'm seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today. There's no more confusion in my life about who's gonna win. You heard what I said? There's no more confusion in my life about who's going to win. I'm hearing in my spirit, sing the song, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed and it's not a dream. Glory to God. It's reality. I'm redeemed, and it's not a dream. It's reality. Christ has done this for me. Go back to 1 Corinthians now. You read the ninth verse, right? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Look at verse 10 now. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. Are you still with me now? We're talking about looking at life through the lens of what? L-E-N-S, the lens of grace. We've got to stop looking at life through the lens of law or through the lens of religion or lens of do or don't. All right, turn in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Barbara said, that wasn't in the note. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, you with me? Claire. The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of, now notice it didn't say them. Of him. Now watch what he said. The eyes of your understanding being what? Being what? Being what? Coming out of the dark. Because if the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened, you're going to stay in the dark. And religious spirit going to ride in your car with you and be all up in your bedroom because you don't know what to do because you're blind, just like the blind who had not accepted Christ. You're in Christ blind. But he says, glory to God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you with me in verse 18? That you may what? What is the hope of his calling? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. That dancing music there, boy. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Somebody give God a hot shout. Listen, Listen. Go back to Ephesians 2:8. I want to make a statement. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I want you to read that one time. I got this. A grace transition here. I got to get you over and over again to go over these things. So let's read that verse. For by grace, through faith, that's not of yourself. All right, now, that's the way you would say it, right? All right, now, can I follow the Holy Ghost? All right, go to Romans 5:17. We're going to read it now. So the same way you're saved, the same way you're going to reign in life. Same way you're going to win in life. Same way you're going to stay on top of things. For it's by, come on, for by one man offense, death reign by one, much more they would receive. And the gift of righteousness shall what? So now you're saved and reigning. See, that's two dimensions there, because when you're saved, now that's all the way on the other side of the field there. Reigning all the way on the other side of the field. Because there's some things you have to know to reign. Even though you're saved, but there's some in-between time between Romans 5:17 and Ephesians 2:8. And some never got to Ephesians 2:8 in the church. They saved, but they never got to Ephesians 2:8. Isn't that something? Saved, you know, but as many receive him, to them give you the power to become the Son of God, Romans 1:12. But then the ingredients Paul give us in Ephesians 2:8, and then he give us the capabilities of going to Romans 5:17, and every Christian should be reigning in life. If you're not reigning, you're deceived somewhere. Being blind to grace is one of the biggest schemes Satan has placed on the body of Christ. What do you mean by being blind to grace? Trying to perform, trying by self-effort and human effort to please God. God is pleased by only one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you hide yourself right in there. And it pleases God every time. It's not by how good you live or how bad you live. It's by how good Christ is all the time. I'm in Christ. Christ in me. Therefore, I'm a child of God. If you don't recognize you're totally forgiven, you're not going to walk in power. Listen. To see, to hear, and to walk in grace is a defeat of the enemy plan for your life. To see, to hear, see, it's back to Titus. Go back to Titus 2:11-12, isn't it? Yeah. Is that the one talking about being established, establish your heart? That's not the one. Hebrews 13:8. And 9. The 8th voice said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The 9th voice said, go to Hebrews 13:9. So important. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. Now, may I submit to you, to a certain degree, the body of Christ, including this church, have not included grace as it should. I've written 7 or 8 books. Grace is not in there like it should be. It helped people, but it's not in there like it should be. And when you are not established in grace, you will fall for any doctrine. And Satan knows that. See, grace is supposed to cover your heart. See what happened? Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat or not with nothing else. Your heart need to be established with grace, with the understanding that I'm forgiven, the understanding that I'm saved. I'm in the family of God now. Nothing can snatch me out of the hand of God. The Holy Spirit will never be taken from me. Man, I can close that. That's good preaching right there. That's good preaching right there. Listen. God desires, What I said? To release his full favor in your life, in your family, and to all you minister to for him. God is ready. See, grace is God's favor. God, you just get to imagine, you understand in your life that stop struggling and fighting and praying all night and reading the Bible all night, then get up and say, God, thank you. Thank you. That's done. Thank you. I'm not going to pray about it no more. Thank you. I declare and I decree that it's my right to have this. Thank you, Jesus. You got to come to a point of thank you. It's over. Thank you. We fight so hard. We fight with scriptures. We fight with prayer. And we're supposed to. But finally, it's time to get up. And see, through the law, we constantly fight it, trying to be better, or trying to do better, or trying to say something better, or trying to understand something better. And the Bible says, he who is covered by grace, you're already there. May the glory of God hit this place. May the glory of God wipe out things that have been hindering you from loving your family strong and loving life. You need to love life. The Bible said God wants you to have the good life. I mean, Ephesians 2:10, it said it'd be prearranged for us to live the good life. But you cannot live the good life by rules, regulations, man doctrine, man idea. It's by the goodness and the love and the forgiveness and the kindness and the peace and the joy and, Jesus. It's by God's love putting his arm around you and telling you, yes, I know you did that. Come on with me. Yes, I know you did that. Come on with me. I've already paid for that. Ain't no Christian. It's not no Christian looking to sin. Not no Christian. Christian not looking to sin. Ain't no Christian looking for no sin. It's the devil suggesting that. Christian want to live for God. I can't hear y'all. Ain't nobody got no time for no sin. Life too good over here. Ain't nobody looking for no sin. Ain't nobody want to be no sinner. I was a sinner. I'm a saint now. I've been sanctified. How many of y'all been sanctified? May the Holy Ghost hit this place. Have you been listening to me? Have you been listening earlier what I said? Because I'm about to make a statement. If you haven't been listening, you're about to miss something. Have you been listening? Today. No, let me say this to you. The days of all defeat come to an end in your life today. Woo! What a statement. The days of all defeat comes to an end in my life today. Say it. Now give the Lord praise for that. Now you may be seated. You may be seated. Let me go a little further. Here we go. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Here we go. Look at somebody tell me, here we go. I love it. I love this. Listen. Now, I taught a message in the Bible school on Tuesday, right, Leroy? Tuesday, to put in this grace factor. This grace factor. That's how it's going to come out. Grace factors. Grace factor. And something about genes. I'm not sure where my trail at. But anyway, I have a message because I know the question is asked. This grace, like it give people life and sin, talking about their past, present, future sin are forgiven, so we need to have something to stop them, hit them in the head with. We become the police in the church, you know. And the police need to be arrest themselves. The handcuffs you got in your pocket, you need to put them on you, you know. So what I'm about to show you now, you may have heard it before, but I think the Holy Spirit is going to bring emphasis on it or make a statement. And it'll deal with your conscience in the aspect of worrying about. You see, most people are not worried about themselves sinning. They're worried about somebody else sinning. They're not so much concerned about their sin. But what we're going to do to hold that person sitting down next to me from sinning? And that's what they're concerned about. You follow me? Now, I'm going to make a statement that's going to help you to know how to stand above sin. Powerful scripture we're going to read. But I want to make a statement. If sin is controlling your life, you are not operating in grace. If sin is controlling your life, you are not operating in grace at all. And look at this. Look at Romans 6, 14. Ooh, I love it. I mean, you don't need no interpreter here. Look what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So what gives sin dominion over a Christian? That Christian is not under grace, that Christian is under law. That's why we've had so much sin in the church. That's why we've had so many ministers fail. That's why we have so many Christians living ungodly lives, but they're really godly people, is because they don't know grace. They're operating under the law. They're trying to not do this and not do that. And they just got to walk out in grace and the Lord will hold. Give me that in the other translation. Give me that verse in. I got it down here. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom. See, if you're trying to live under the law will tell you, sin will be able to tell you how to live. But living under grace, you're living under the finished work of Christ. You're living under the blood. You're living under the Holy Spirit. You're living under the fruit of the Spirit. You're living under the gift of the Spiot. You're led by the, Romans 8, 14. You're led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. With every form of temptation, God give me a means to escape. My life through divine power and precious faith and partake of the divine nature, I escape the lust of the corruption of lust. Give it to me in another translation. Amplified. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. Since now you are not under law as slave, but under grace as subject of God's favor. Ooh, subject! I'm a subject of God's favor and mercy. It's a good time now to go to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 is a good time. We're going to come back there. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Here's a scenario. The next time something hits you in your life trying to drag you down, don't try to breath up yourself and get out 13 scriptures and start reading, trying to hold yourself. Go to that throne. Say, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I can't make it by myself. I need some mercy. I need some grace. That's the way you handle it. Go back to Romans 6:14 and give me another translation. I think it's what I need to have that to make clarity here, because I know I'm touching on. Give me the Living Bible, the NIV, a Living Bible, something, NIV. For sin should not be. Now, I'm about to cuss. The only way sin can be your master is that you got a bastard spirit. And you're not a bastard because you're a child of God. A bastard that don't have no father. We have a father. How many of y'all got a father? God. Because if a person keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on sinning, nobody can tell them nothing, I'm afraid that person is not saved. Might not be saved. For sin should not be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, what it says is that, you see, the church, if you're under the law, sin become your master. And sad to say, ladies and gentlemen, basically the church of God been under the law. We just coming under full grace. Give me the other translation before I move from there. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom, the freedom of God's grace. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's sure amazing. Romans 6:1. If sin is controlling your life, you're not operating in grace. You're actually a Christian living under disgrace. And you bring disgrace to the body of Christ, faking it, and acting like, you know, I love God. Man, you people ain't stupid, boy, girl, whoever you are. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Give me the Living Bible on that. So I just want church to be clear on this, because I don't want, give me the Living Bible on that, Romans 6. I want the church to be clear on that. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how shall we continue to live in it? That's very simple, isn't it? Wave your hand at me if you see that. Wow. Well, Lord, we went to Titus in the message about, let's go to 1 Peter. That's a new one for you. Go to 1 Peter. If sin is controlling your life, you are not operating in grace. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but you're going to catch hell down here. You're going to be sick. You're going to be broke. Somebody's going to die ahead of time. All kinds of stuff going to happen. I'm just telling you the truth, because you let the enemy in your house. On purpose. You know you're doing wrong. And it won't put a bad image on the grace message, you know. Say, God, I'm under grace, me. All right. 1 Peter 2, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, some Peter. First Peter 2:16, this verse here is powerful. What are the first two words? As free. All right, we're getting free, right? As free. All right, look what it says. And not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. I think I had that. Give me the NIV. And I got that in this transition. live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up, you listen to me, for evil. Live as servant of God. I don't want sin. Anybody here just want to sin? You a Christian, you just want to sin? I question that. If you're a Christian, you just want to sin. I ain't looking for no sin. But I tell you what, sin looking for me. Sin looking for you too. But you have to be ready for it. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Come on. Amen. Satan wants to disgrace the Father and the church through you. If you let him by deceiving you that you are a failure and can't stop sinning and make you think sinning is your idea. Here we go. Look at somebody tell me, here we go. All right. Satan wants you. That's all Satan wants to do. He mad with the Father. He's not mad with you. He married the Father. So he mad because you left. Now you're a Christian, all right? So Satan wants to disgrace the Father and the church through you. Satan wants to disgrace the Father and the church through you. Not me. Say it, not me. And I understand this. The Bible says you have overcome them little children. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See? Satan wants to disgrace the Father and the church through you if you let him by deceiving you. See, the only way he can do it is by deceiving you, because he's no match for you. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion, and the power of the enemy do you no harm. See? He deceived you that you are a failure and you can't stop sinning and make you think sinning is your idea. All right. Next point I want you to write down is seeing your new kingdom identity properly. See, we're looking through the lens of grace, right? Seeing your new kingdom identity properly. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 5:17, familiar voice, but we're teaching it under grace now. Every voice is going to be different now because it's taught different. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. All right? Now turn to Hebrews 10, verse 19. I'm going to go to spit out some words that it make us when we see this new kingdom identity. Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Oh, this shouting glory here, brother. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? By what? A new. By what? A new. Next verse. And living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, quickly. Then I'm going to spit some things out to you. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Hallelujah. 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 Looking at life through the lens of grace. I'll just begin at the first verse of 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. That is, underline that, because we're going to deal with righteousness in many subjects on this grace teaching. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2 what it says. Grace and peace be what? Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, that's what I'm planning on happening in here. Yes, sir. By teaching you Grace and peace can be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partake of the divine nature. Uh-oh, what did he say at the end? Having escaped. Now, these are some words in your new identity. Lack precious faith. So I got precious and faith here, but I just said lack precious faith, righteousness, grace and peace be multiplied, knowledge, divine power, exceeding great and precious promises, partakers of the divine nature, escape the corruption. That's exactly what he's saying. Seeing your new kingdom identity properly, you operate in precious faith, you operate in righteousness, you operate in grace and peace, you operate in knowledge, you operate through divine power, you operate through exceeding great and precious promises, you operate through all of that because you are partakers of the divine nature, and because of that, you have escaped the corruption. Satan is no match. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm on the other side of the fence. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, then you might have it more abundantly. Can't you see he have been stealing your inheritance in this life? He can't steal your inheritance in the other life, but he's been stealing your inheritance, and your inheritance for two places, for two reasons, man reason. The Holy Spirit telling me right now, in this life, your inheritance for two man reasons. Two man reasons. One, to be a witness for God that others might see Christ in you. And the other one is to live in God's goodness. Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need. Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Bible said, he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Not in my head, but all my cup and over. Bible said, show the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, that's God's goodness. God is good. Say it.
God is good.
All the time. Every time.
Even when I fail.
God is good. Now, understanding, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Understanding what righteousness is and how it flows. How much time you had on that clock, son?
1 hour.
Good God Almighty. Understanding what, I'm hoping he said 45 minutes. Understanding what righteousness is and how it flows. You got that down? Now notice this, these are finished work scriptures. For he had made him to be sin for us, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the great exchange. He became a sinner so we can get his righteousness. Now listen to this. Look at Romans 5:21. And I just saw this the other day. I'm telling you, I've been reading the Bible, but I just, by understanding grace, getting to understand grace, I saw this thing, man. I said, my Lord, look at here. I got to operate in grace. Look what it says. Look what the Word of God says. My goodness. Y'all get anything? Man, I got to pump this. I got to teach this now, y'all. You know, y'all talking about, well, I ain't had no spirit. There's no feeling you're trying to get. You can get it sometime, but right now you need to get this truth in your spirit that you know how to live in power, in glory, in victory. Stop all them old dead dogs from barking. You done messed up 15 years ago and the dog still barking. That dog died 6 years ago. You know, I've been saved for over 39 years. You know, I never felt bad for what I done before I got saved. I ain't never looked back. I have never looked back there and had no heartaches. Never. But see, I stayed in the Word. I kept my mind renewed. But I ain't never, and I done some terrible things. But I ain't never looked back at them. I ain't got nothing to do with them. The devil did it. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to show you, if you value the Word, you value the Spirit, you can get completely out. I got completely out. I lost connection with the world by feeding on the Word. I don't even know my old life. People who meet me in the from the old life don't even know me. So they say, "How you doing, sir?" I'm going to have to close in a minute. Romans 5:21. Look, that as sin have ran unto death, even so might what? Grace what? Grace what? Grace reign, right? Well, how? So, you know, a person can't understand grace unless they understand righteousness. Righteousness means you're a partaker of his divine nature. You're a child of God. Now, you see, people get afraid when I say that. It's not so much about what you have done than who you are. When you recognize who you are, what you have done that's not right is over. And what you do in the present, you're going to be over it. Turn to Romans 4 quickly. Right back to Romans 4. I got to get these scriptures. You can read these scriptures yourself, but I want to get them to you because this is Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they, which of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Are you still with me? I'm at verse 15, right? Because the law worketh wrath. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be showed to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, righteousness works by faith. I said a flow of righteousness by faith. Now here's, I'm on number 4. I don't know what you're on. How many pages did you get out of one of my tapes, Barbara? The average? There, on outlining one tape. How many pages did Montreal talk about? 15 pages. See, out of this teaching here, they get 15 pages. How many pages you got? write these scriptures down. I'm not going to go to them. Romans 8:14, it says, as many is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Psalm 23:6, they show the good and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. Having the revelation of the Holy Spirit leading you and goodness and mercy following you. Having the revelation of the Holy Spirit leading you and goodness and mercy following you. How about that, Eli? You heard it? Having this. What he said? Having the revelation. All right, Eli being led by the Holy Spirit. So Eli got the Holy Spirit in front of him. So Eli following the Holy Spirit. They ain't going to lead him the right way? Then Eli looked back, and two other dudes behind it. Goodness and mercy. Sound like he covered to me. And then, two more things I'm going to say to you, whatever that clock do. Insight that will constantly release the gospel of grace in your life on a daily basis. Insight that will constantly release the gospel of grace in your life on a daily basis. And that's the two scriptures, Acts 20, 24, and 32, because 32 verse says, receive the word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Satan want to blind us of the gospel of grace, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, 4, we went through it. The spirit of grace has opened our eyes. Here's how the gospel should be. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 quickly. I'm going to close. I'm going to jump over and close. I got one more thing to say to you. First, go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Now, this is what have happened to the church. This is what have happened to us. Our eyes have been blind to the gospel. You will never see this gospel by the law. This gospel here, you'll never see it. For our gospel came not into you in word only. See, some people got only a word gospel. You cannot see this gospel in its fullness, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for his sake, grace men. See, so remember he said, if our gospel be hid, talking about to the laws, so actually the gospel has been hid from the church. And we've been only having, the reason that we have lived in some defeat, not all of us, but people in the church, part of the body of Christ, live in defeat, but they had a gospel with only word. But notice the other thing the gospel is supposed to be. What's the next one? Saved with some conviction. Power. And what else? The Holy Ghost. And what else? That much assurance will make you dance, won't it? Much assurance. It's going to be all right. God's going to work this thing out for me. I've been caught in this trap, but it can't hold me. We'll jerk the whole doggone building down, but it hooked up. But greater is he that's in me. All right, now. Here's the clincher. To see how to fully live in grace, you must understand, you ready? The yet not I principle. To see, boy, I love it when the Holy Ghost, to see how, turn to two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 10, Galatians 2, 20, then we'll close. To see how to really live in grace, you must understand the yet not I principle. Ooh, I love it. The yet not I principle. To see how to fully live in grace, you must understand the yet not I principle. We're going to see both of those principles in these two verses. We're going to have the great Apostle Paul in both of them. Apostle Paul tells us about his ministry. Paul said, my ministry was so strong, I wrote half of the New Testament because I live by the yet not I principle. That is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Hallelujah. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. That is. He understood. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Come on, look at this. Yet not I. See, it's the yet not I principle. You see, if you get in trouble as a Christian, look at me. I believe the Holy Ghost on me. You get in trouble and you don't know what to do. You missed the mark. You slipped down. You made a mistake. Or somebody have attacked you. You rise up in the yet not I principle. And when the Lord hear that, the Lord take over. Come on, go to Galatians 2:20. You're going to see it again. Everybody say the yet not I principle. I want you to leave with that on your mind that it's not you doing this. I got the victory. I'm blessed. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, not the tail. See? But it's not me doing it. I got grace on me. And the grace took my place. So I still labor, I still read my Bible, I still pray in tongues, I still praise him, I still love him, yet not I. I can think about this church. The Lord built his church up in the wilderness here. But I know better. Yet not I. It's the grace of God. I fly all over the world. You know, how much? $30 million jet? Yet not I. When I land, when we land, me and my boy land in some place and say, who is that? The boy asked Leroy, I said, it was God. He was a black pilot, young black pilot, you know. And he see all us black men getting off this plane. He asked Leroy, I said, who that plane for? Leroy said, my daddy. How I contact him? And Leroy, he directed Leroy to Leroy, told him something. Give me a call. Give me something. That's his plan? Leroy said, yes, his. Yet not I. Yet not I. When you get that, you know, so, you know, you get blessed. Get out the way. Let the glory come. Yes, yes, I'm over hour. Yes, I'm over hour. Yes, absolutely. I'm over hour. Yes, I'm over hour. Yet not I. Galatians 2:20 now. Let me close. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yeah, it is. Yet not I. But Christ. Woo! Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I don't live by my own faith. I don't just live by so that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a winner. I'm blessed. The hand of the Lord on me. Victory belong to me. I fell and I got up. Because every time I fall, grace picked me back up again. I live in victory. Total victory. Yet not I. Christ paid for it. Now I want you to promise me you're not going to whoop yourself no more. You're not going to whoop yourself because of your weakness, because of your shortcoming. I want you to promise me that. I want you to promise and say, yet not I.
Yet not I.
But Christ lives in me. I promise you, you'll come out of every situation. I promise you'll come out of all sickness and disease. I promise you'll come out of all lack, all limitation. I promise you'll come out, your house will be so peaceful that you don't want to leave home. Sometimes me and my wife get in the pajamas in the morning and never leave the house. See, if you had an old hell-fired house, you'd be trying to put some pants on when you're getting out of bed. Say, get out of this. I speak peace over you. Stand up, girl. Stand up. Don't sit down up in here. The apostle about to speak. Stand up. I'm about to impart some graces to you. I speak peace to you. Where did that prophecy the Lord give me? I speak peace over you. Good God Almighty, that you can have peace the rest of your day. Here's what the Lord said to me in preparing for this message. Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and here's a word from the Lord. See with understanding the glory of my grace setting before you, calling you to the higher life that time can't reveal it. It is built up on the foundation of eternity. Let the bells of grace ring, acknowledging the goodness, the love, and the mercy that grace bring. He will let me wrap him in the fall of my grace and will not toil in life no more. Give grace space and see the freedom in running this race. Lift your hand and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'd be a man or woman in this house who need to accept Christ. I really won't see you as a Christian. I really won't see Jesus in your life. And if you're here in person or you're here by internet, or you're here by Roku, or you're here by LeroyThompson.com TV, I want you to get in.